Carson, are aliens real?
I don't believe in aliens, no.
Josh,
I'll tell you why. You think we're alone?
I think it's, yeah. I mean, I don't know that I would say we're alone.
Simply being life of some form.
But Josh, if Carson is an alien, maybe he's not allowed to say.
Right. Typical alien, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just an NPC.
Right.
He said typical alien.
Brothers and sisters, we can't thank you enough for all your love, your support, and your faithfulness. It's been brought to my attention, if you really want to do something to bless us, to thank us, apparently simply hitting the like button on YouTube would be more impactful than what I ever knew, let alone subscribing to us on YouTube if you're not already. And then over on Spotify and Apple, please leave us a review. All of your listening and your comments to us mean the world to us. And do us a favor and just hit like on YouTube and leave us reviews on Spotify and Apple. And we're going to continue to serve you with our whole heart. Thank you so much.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Tattoo Guardians podcast. And again, we have fired Matt and we've brought in a new co-defendant today. The old school OG Joshua Carlton is joining me. And our new replacement for Matt, the powerful Carson Hill.
See, I've been pushing for this since the beginning. The whole idea was never to have Matt. It was actually Carson. So finally.
Well, you know, it works as we've
I can fill those shoes from Matt.
He's got dreadlocks. Small feet.
Right. The thought of that is weird because Matt is so tall. So picturing him with tiny feet is pretty fucking funny.
You know,
How tall is he?
I mean, he's 6 something. I guess he's short to you, Hip.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I don't recall Matt being tall, but, you know, I don't realize how big I am until I see myself with pictures of people. And I'm like, geez, I am big. You know,
I'm 5'9", and I know I look up to Matt, so he's probably like 6'1", at least, which I guess is tall to me.
Yeah, so I'm 6'5", but wow. I don't know. It's just, and especially like when we teach class and I'm looking at ourself in the screen and we're standing beside each other, I always have to like duck to see if there's someone joining the class where it's just perfect level for him. And then I'll be like, the whole time we're in class, I'm like doing this to like just see. I'm like, man, I'm fucking big. No wonder like old women at the grocery store get scared when I'm like holding the door open for them.
Are you at the height where you have to like observe things like showers or like just doors in general? Do you duck under some doors?
Dude, at the shop, the basement's not fucking hip friendly. And there are sometimes it is, but for the most part, no. It's like, I don't know what's happening with like generations of humans as they've gotten, have we been here longer? Cause I've heard things that like back in the day, like people were a lot smaller than they were.
Yeah.
Or than they are now. So I don't know anything about that. Matt, how tall are you? 6'1", you're right, Josh.
Look at that. Not only do I tattoo, I guess height.
So you're at the height where you have to duck to see your face in the mirror, though.
Yes, depending on how well it is or how far back I stand. Okay, this is a good description. I'm at the height where I can never buy my own fucking clothes at any rock concert I want to go to or any store usually. Because it's like, I like a long fitting t-shirt and they never have like the XLs fit good, but they're never long enough. So I got to go for like the XL tall or like, that's why Kohl's is my friend. Cause they got like the big and tall section.
When you ordered a Light the Path shirt for me, I had to go like specially get something just for you. Which I was fine with, but.
Right. And I always had that. That's why, like, my custom shirts, I know I give them to people and they're like, dude, this is a fucking nightgown. And I'm like, oh, I thought everybody liked like a long, lengthy shirt, you know?
Right. That's funny. Well, Carson, it's awesome to see you. How you been?
Doing good. Just, living and
staying busy.
Keeping very busy. Yeah.
Before, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say all good, busy. Yeah.
That's awesome. Before we were on the air, we were just talking a little bit about laser removal, and says you've been getting that quite a bit. And did I hear you right that you said you had gotten like 50 laser treatments like in your lifetime, like around there?
Estimated. Yeah. I had, I know we're not supposed to talk about tattoos.
It's
here,
not technically tattoos.
Well, I'm going to have to mention. Okay. Let's see. I laser removed some markings that I had on two full arms,
right,
and neck and fingers on my back and stomach now. And yeah, so I used to do it a lot. I haven't done it in many years, but I just started going back again.
Yeah.
You know, it's fried like bacon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because for those that are listening and are wondering what the hell we're talking about, we are attempting to do a show where we don't talk about tattooing or art, apparently, which is really interesting because it's very difficult for me to not say something. You know what I mean?
Same.
So I'm going to throw it to you, Hip, and just shut up for a second.
Well, I'm going to fucking receive that pass and I'm going to alley-oop it to my dude, Clem.
now that he's actually here.
Hey, party people. Hello, you beautiful souls. My God, the honor that I have to sit down at this table and talk to you gents once again. Fuck, how'd we get so lucky?
I don't know.
But I'm surprised you alley-ooped it to me because he said not to talk about tattooing or art, and he threw it to you. And out of all of us, you're the one that's really not the artist here, so I can't believe.
Damn.
Cold-blooded.
Hey, you guys don't know, but he had that coming. he's been throwing me under the bus in front of TBM for weeks now.
Sir, I don't know what you're talking about. I am... try to hold myself gracefully in the eyes of other people, and I never poke the bear or make fun of anyone about anything, let alone their insecurities.
Okay.
That doesn't seem genuine.
Right, right. Does it?
No, I'm reading from a teleprompter.
That's right. He's a big brother to many. So that's how he loves. So he's going to razz on you. But guys, I like today that we decided to get together and see what organically comes out of us. And I know, Hip, you, after hanging out with Carson and getting to know him better, almost the idea of the show was birthed in your spirit to at least attempt together, getting to know Carson better, realizing like, oh man, this brother's got some depth to him. Like you meet so many people in the tattoo industry, we meet beautiful souls all over the world, you know, but whenever we encounter a brother that's got a little extra depth that it seems, you know, you're drawn to that. We're drawn to that, you know, and I think and that's why you wanted to bring Carson back on. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm always open to possibility. And so I came with a few things today that we could discuss. And even if we wanted to start now, this may just be starting in the middle of the movie here. But last time we had you on the show, Carson, you alluded to an idea that I really appreciated and so wanted to hear more. But, you know, that was that show. So even if we start there from the last time we had Carson on, and I think someone, one of us, maybe it was me, brought up this term healing. And I brought up mentioning like healing, people healing, emotional healing, whatever. And I can't quote you, Carson, but you almost alluded to the fact of people not being aware of their already wholeness. You alluded to the only people
the
that need
not
healed,
needing saving and
not needing healed, not, that they're already healed type deal. Something along those lines. And that made me be like, oh, this brother, okay. You know, so that's one topic we could put on. Another one, guys, something I've been fascinated with on and off my whole life, and it's come back up recently, is the distinctions between this thing called doing. We all got so much we're up to, we get to, we're so blessed, we're sitting here doing our podcast show right now, right? We all got things we get to do, things we got to do, want to do. But the distinction between doing and being, right? This was a major topic yesterday with all of our TBM students. So many of us get so caught up and worried and stressed in the doing, about the doing, that it alters our way of being. And as we're looking to build and strategy on the things we're doing to have a greater impact, to win, to bear fruit, to build the business, whatever the case may be, I am reminded of the importance of it's all from our being. Who are you being? And that this is a cognizant, constant, conscious choice, i.e. dance in every moment. Who am I being? And out of what place am I operating from my being, which will then have a direct effect in my doing? Anyways, I'll pause right there. If either of those two topics tickle your fancy, let's go.
I'm into the doing and being. Actually, okay. Reminds me of a conversation I had recently. And I think I have a lot of friends that are sort of obsessed with focus on being rather than doing.
Yes.
And that brought up a conversation recently because my perspective is that the flaw in that is that if you focus too much on being, which is kind of the opposite of what you're saying, I think that like the general population focuses mostly on doing. And at some point you realize that the importance of focusing on being. But my whole argument or what I notice is people who start to notice that is they end up sort of fixating on being and then they don't integrate it. And so I personally think that the integration is the biggest key to all of the working of all of that. So in other words, like focus on being, but unless you integrate that with doing, there is no having in the
That's
end.
Right.
Right. So, cause the whole pie is be, do, have, right?
Right.
Versus the typical general population will think it's do, have, be, right? Yeah. So in other words, they think, or no, have, do, be. If right. I had this, then I could do this, and then I could be this, right?
That's right.
If I had money, then I could afford to blah, 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 which would make me this person.
Yeah.
Versus the other way around, it should be the person, you know, that you want to be.
Mm.
But don't forget to do the doing, because otherwise you just get stuck on being.
Right. And even when you said that to me, the person that's stuck in their being and there's no implementation, to me, their being now comes into question. Are they really being who they said they're trying to be with? Because if there is no implementation, if there is no doing, then to me, it still points back to the being isn't aligned with who they said they wanted to be, because there's always doing that comes Maybe. Out of the being, right? Or some sort of evidence or fruit.
Well, yeah, because like if I'm wanting to be a plumber and in my mind I'm just like, man, I'm going to make water go where it's supposed to go and there's not going to be any leaks. Well, if I just like don't go and plumb shit, then I don't become a plumber.
Right.
So ultimately, I need to start finding plumbers and fucking hanging around them and getting a job, going into being a journeyman school, I guess. Yeah, I'm sure. Guess that's a trade, you mm-hmm. know, so there's a trade school for that. And then putting in the work, getting my own jobs, working with a company, branching off on my off days and doing what it's little small side jobs and shit until I get my own business. Cause now the goal I've been being a plumber and doing the, you guys like what I'm doing with just changing a word to plumber.
I personally think you're oversimplifying it, and I get the point. I get why you're doing that. But when I think of like the be do have thing, I'm thinking like more like long, like big vision.
Mm.
Like what do you want to be in life, right? Not necessarily career oriented, but it's like for example, somebody who provides value for the world, right, would be like a way of being that I'm kind of referring to.
Mm.
Or something more like big vision sort of stuff, not like necessarily a career or even a successful career or something like that, but why are we doing plumbing, right?
Yeah.
Why are we being a plumber to begin with? Because that's where the being really comes from. Not, it's almost like the being a plumber is still doing. It's still doing plumbing.
Yep.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So looking past, you know, when, so a couple months ago, Matt went to Atlanta and spoke on a world stage with a bunch of entrepreneurs, and it was like the Hope Global Forum, and it was bringing like money education to the minority communities. And it was great. And this one dude, you know, they always say, like, if your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough. And I regurgitated that to this gentleman, and he was like, ooh, yep, I heard that. I like it, but I'm going to upgrade that. And he was like, if you can dream it, it's not big enough. So I appreciate what you just said, because it's like, why think about a tree when you can envision a forest, you know?
I guess what I would go back to is like, okay, if plumbing is the example that we're using, what is the having at the end? In other words, like, if you're using plumbing as the example, and then you're going to do plumbing, what was the point?
Maybe just a starting point, possibly, because, you know, like, what I do today, like, has branched into like, coaching a class as well, which wasn't even part of the vision when I first started of what I wanted to be. But over time of me doing whatever it is that I want to do, it's opened my mind to more possibilities to see now, like, oh, okay, I'm actually helping people now with this coaching thing more so than I could for like drawing on someone for a couple hours a day, which is still helping someone, which then feeds my dream into like, okay, so how can this branch out and be even bigger than inside this industry and this community? And this is just personal experience, but then doing that also, now I'm starting to implement even more the things that I'm teaching into my life, which in turn puts me back in the state of like being an apprentice and wanting to learn more. And now I'm like climbing a ladder of like, who do I listen to? You know, I always like to tell people, when it's real judgmental, like, you know, I'm a two and I'm trying to be a three. So I'm going to hang out with threes, or I'm going to hang out with fours that want to be fives. And the goal is to be a 10. And the 10 is equated to financial success, positive interactions with people, small changes to the world or large changes to the world. So I'm always going to hang out with twos that want to be threes. I'm not going to hang out with twos that are cool being twos or ones that are cool being ones. I'm going to continue and grow. And then like the clarity comes in the doing. So as I'm like being and doing what that being is supposed to be doing to have what it is that I'm supposed to have, I'm also going to mature.
For 1 second.
Yeah.
Make that point in two sentences.
Huh.
It's becoming a little bit convoluted. I want to keep up. I want to understand what you're saying.
Make it in two sentences.
While you're thinking about that, Hip, just real quick, would you say that because you started coaching and it was like unexpected, was that something now that you are focused on doing? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like it's part of the path discovery, basically.
Well, you know, I often ask myself, how free do I want to be? and it's kind of a double-edged sword, because freedom isn't free. And the more free I become, the greater responsibilities I must take on to become more free. So like, this is just another responsibility that showed up, and it opened up an opportunity to be like, you know, the people, the motivational speakers I listen to, the Les Browns, the Gary V's, the Tony Robbins, the self-help mentors and stuff. It put me in a position to like kind of be that to people from time to time, because also I've got Matt in my life. I've got you in my life. I've got, my buddy Drew in my life. My stepfather has always been like that type of mentor to me. So it's shown me more so that like, oh, you can do this too. You have that possibility. So ultimately, if I could sum everything up and into two sentences, it would be like, get extremely wealthy to help everyone I can. I guess is my why. Like, how can I get so fucking wealthy that anyone that needs help, how could I start a treatment facility that's not centered around substitution drugs like, right, you know, methadone or Suboxone, but we actually deal with the trauma and create true healing versus like just slapping a Band-Aid on it. Because, you know, recovery is a very monetary thing right now, you know, like it's jumping, like to get people in and out of treatment, like people get kickbacks for that. So it's like, mm-hmm, how can we create something true that actually deals with the trauma and the issues that cause the person to like put a needle in their arm anyway? That, mm-hmm, that's part of like the why for sure. So, you know, just get so fucking wealthy to just hook people up as much as I can. You know, I think Jordan Peterson says the purpose of life is to help others struggle less. And in doing so, it just comes with the territory that others will help you struggle less, you know?
Right.
If that helps.
It does. But I think what I'm seeking is like a mic drop sort of effect, because what happens is I get lost in the sort of intricate details. And so maybe I was sitting there thinking like, maybe it could be useful to deconstruct it and back to the, have, do, be, is that
yeah,
right? If I could have this, then I could do this. So what would it be? Because I feel like that would be simpler if we deconstruct it into and dumb it down to have, do, be, because that's kind of sounds like what you're doing, okay, right? If you have infinite wealth, then you could provide people with anything, mm-hmm, and then you could be. So that's what I'm trying to get at, because I don't think we've really touched on being yet.
That's right. That's right. And I know he got off, and I wanted to point out that him hip trying his best to like answer your question, mm-hmm, even what he said came out of who he already is being, who he already is. The fact that the desire of his heart, you know, he brought up an answer to generate wealth to help more people, right? But that desire is birthed out of a being that exists right here, right now at this table.
And what is that?
Right. And so, Hip, you already have been someone to help others. You already are someone who supports addicts. You already are being the guy to bring hope and change to others. Right now at the level you're at, I've watched you do it since I've known you, and you probably always will. And as that continues to evolve, and maybe and along the way, you have even greater reach, greater impact, whether you're the vessel that generates the wealth for that, or just out of your being and the desire of your heart that the wealth shows up when it's needed, right? Mm-hmm. And so those are the effects, the fruits on the tree out of a desire of things you want to do. But that all was birthed out of your already being, your heart for people already that exist right now. You couldn't have answered it that way if you were being somebody different.
So then what would the, like, you know, with what Carson's saying, what would the being be?
That's your question to answer. I think that here's the way that I would ask the question. Mm-hmm. You've presented to us at this point that having a bunch of wealth so that you can provide the biggest impact on people is kind of the goal. So the question is, and from your perspective, what does that mean you are if you successfully accomplish that?
A philanthropist?
Well, you're trying to title it. I'm saying like on a dumb it down. So explain it to me like I'm a five-year-old. What does that mean you as a person? What qualities does that give you, or so on?
A lover.
Come on.
Compassion.
There we go.
Integrity for myself and others.
Mm-hmm.
A worldly being that appreciates humanity and sees good in everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. There it is. So what does that mean? Step one is?
To be that.
Right.
And the beauty
which
is
I think you're already doing, which is what Matt was pointing out.
You already are that. And that's the thing. I think that's the trap we all fall into. Even ancient scripture says you have forgotten what manner of man or woman you are. Right. And so we get lunged into
this sense of lack. I'm unworthy. I'm not good enough. So I'm going to make these goals and put in this work to achieve so that I can become good enough, become worthy, become validated so that I could be somebody, right? Mm-hmm. But if I take a seed and I plant an apple seed to plant an apple tree, what kind of tree am I going to get, Hip?
Apple tree.
An apple tree. If I plant a seed right now, who I'm being this week, if I plant seeds in my daily thoughts, in my life, that I'm not good enough, what kind of tree am I going to produce in my life today?
A not good enough
tree. A not good enough tree, right? And if I'm saying I'm trying to get from here to there, it's evident that my being is not there yet versus deciding to be it now.
I see what's happening here. And to
operate from that place already as if to be it now, so that we can do the things now and actually have the manifest and close the gap now, operating from who I'm being right now. But if we want to really simplify it, let's just say I'll use myself as an example. I choose to be love and kindness, right? And you witness that a lot. Mm-hmm. But we both do. You just said it. You are a lover, right? And so even if I choose to be love and kindness, this is who I am, how I show up in the world, wherever I show up. Guys, and I think, can we all agree to some level or not that we all believe we're creators,
mm-hmm,
with our thoughts, right?
Yep.
And, you know, people ask, since you're a lover, I'm a lover, right? So I choose to be love. And when I find, and in this, it's just grown in our awareness of our already essence, our already power, our already being, our already worthiness, our already acceptedness. And it's, instead of us trying to earn that, it's more of awakening to and growing in our awareness, the realization that we already are, and our knowing and our understanding that we already have the goods, operating from that place of being, I believe is where the love and the power's at. Now life hits us and we can get caught up. You've witnessed this happen with me all the time too. I'll get caught up in stress, fear, worries, doubts, things we got to do. Open loops, things that have been put on the back burner too long. We get stressed out, right? And all those things that are happening, if I allow the fear, when I allow the fear and a lack to creep in, it alters my way of being. And now with all these things I got to do, the who I'm being in the place I'm operating from isn't really on the team and isn't really going to serve me. This is where growing to become the observer, not the judge, and to observe who I'm being, not to absorb it, right? And Josh, you could probably appreciate this, being an empath, you know, and it's even knowing the difference between the ability to observe but not to absorb, right? Yes. Let alone with other people, you can observe, but that don't mean you have to absorb all their shit. But same with yourself, you know, because we can observe ourselves. If I observe myself falling into fear, worry, lack, or doubt, what's the first, same with you, I watch you do it. What's our, usually our initial reaction is to start kicking our own ass, mm-hmm, start condemning, man, I done fell off, man, I'm in fear or stress or whatever. But instead of judging myself and absorbing my own shit to have judgment, to step back like and to love myself enough to simply observe and be like, oops, I done fell off. I done started getting caught up. When we're all just visitors here, let's not get caught up. And to remind myself of my true essence, who I really am, no matter what it looks like, and to begin operating from that place of being again. So now that when I get back to addressing the doing, maybe all the things haven't changed, or have they all changed because my perception has changed, i.e. my state of being has changed. This is why I've been so fascinated with believing that the power all stems from our own awareness of who we are being, no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I share something?
Yeah,
please.
I think would would kind of complement that. So I have what I call a contract with myself regarding my way of being. And then I have my doing, which also doubles as my sort of business mission, right? So my contract is three words. This is my being.
Oh, I love it.
It's courageous, loving, and giving, okay? So that's what I'm being.
Yes.
My doing is innovate, create, empower, and it's connected with that. So you have to be courageous to innovate. Loving and creation is the same thing, in my opinion. It's the difference. It's like kind of like hating and destruction is the same. Loving and creating is the same thing, and then giving and empowering is the same. It's like my gift that I give. And so when life, you know, when you start having fear, uncertainty, and doubt, so on.
Yeah.
The solution for me has always been just to check in on that initial contract. Am I being courageous, loving, and giving? Because that's what the focus ought to be. The side effect of being that is the doing, and the side effect of the doing is the having. And so the having, it ends up being like a trickle down effect. You don't have to focus on so much. Just focus on your being. And by simplifying it to three things, for me, I have a very complex way of looking at life and at times, but to simplify makes everything a lot easier for me because I like simplicity. And so having a three key points, like this is what I need to be. Yeah. And then I don't have to think about doing as much. Like if I get off track, if something is not working, the question is, am I being courageous, loving, and giving? And then I can analyze that, and the likelihood is that I'm not. And if I get back to that, then the rest of it kind of just falls into place.
That's beautiful, Carson.
Thank you.
I like it and how you're keeping it simple, because, you know, that's just something we always hear in recovery is like to keep it simple. And it's like, because we are complex beings and we think and we start to analyze stuff, you've got a tether attached to you back at the, wherever, that like all you have to do is look down and see like, oh, I'm tethered to something. What is it? Oh, it's these three simple things. Okay. Does this not fit into these three simple things of my being? No, they don't. And it's like an instant reminder of like, oh, it's just simple. If I just apply these, it works, because it's the ebb and flow. It's so weird how, like, you know, Matt says it all the time, givers get. Like when people just genuinely give to just give, they get. You know, it's just part of the territory. It's par for the course. And it's what a great way to like simplify it, as you've witnessed, as our listeners have witnessed. I just fucking analyzed the shit out of it.
Well, you used the word integrity, self-integrity, and he used the word contract with himself.
Right.
And I love that he's in a covenant, an agreement with himself. And in this human experience, and if our monkey mind starts to trail, but we observe and not absorb and not judge ourselves, but have enough self-love to observe and then bring ourselves back. But he's created his own reference point to anchor himself back, and he's simplified it. No matter what storm's going on, he can come back. Am I being courageous and loving right now? You know what I'm saying? And I love that he's got courageous, because one of the number one things that holds us all back, even from the doing, is fear of not knowing the outcome. We've kicked the can down the road, so now I'm afraid. I'm in overwhelm. There's bricks around me. Okay. Is now a good time to be courageous? Is now a good time to be loving with myself, with my situation? Like, I love that Carson's anchoring himself back to that, because from that place of being, any doing, like he said, almost will just happen naturally. Why? Because of the place he's operating out of his being.
And you can't be courageous without something to apply courage to, you know?
Right. Would you say, like, am I understanding correctly, like, I'm a very goal-driven person. You know, I wake up and I'm super motivated, and I try to get other people to be motivated, but I've always looked at the long game, like, what is my goal? So I guess that would be, what do I want to be, correct? So I feel like maybe I'm understanding that instead of saying tomorrow morning, the diet starts, right? Like I'm going to do this. You can start living in the now, right now, by acting as if, basically. right? The goal that you of what you want to be, you can start right now by being courageous, loving, whatever that thing is for you.
For me, it's yes. I'm going to complicate it a little bit, but for me, I'm purpose oriented more so than goal oriented, because to me, goals are temporary and short term, mm-hmm. and yes, the answer is yes, but also, like, I want to know, like, it gets a little bit emotional in my opinion, because purpose is more meaningful to me than goals. Like, maybe my goal for the month is a certain amount of sales or something right. like that, or to impact a certain number of people, but my overall purpose, it's not as easy to, like, identify that, but it's a better like North Star, so to speak, in my opinion.
Yeah, that completely makes sense. And I think that a lot of us, myself certainly included, which is why I've been so quiet, I'm just listening. But maybe, yeah, you shouldn't focus so much on the someday I'm going to be this, because today I'm starting, I'm going to work so hard and I'm going to do that, which makes a lot of people fail, because as soon as they stumble, they give up oftentimes. But by doing it now, I guess, is the best way for me to say it. Like, you know, HIP is describing all of these things. And like Matt pointed out, as you were saying, what you wanted to be since the day I met you, HIP, that's why I love you, that you are all of those things now. That's why you're one of my best friends, because I'm like, hey, this person resonates with me. So.
Yeah, being is free and it's instant. You don't have to wait to be what you want to be.
Being is free, and that's wonderful. It's so strange how simple things end up being. We are so complicated, and specifically, I think artists, I know I'm extremely complicated. I hear myself say way too often, I've been looking at it the wrong way. In the last year, I've really noticed how many things I've been looking at it the wrong way. And usually that ends up being, I've been looking at it way more complicated, or making it way more complicated. So simplifying it down into that, it does equal freedom. And that's very exciting.
Yeah, I love that. You know, it's a constant, for lack of better words, choice or awareness game. That's why I keep saying being the observer, because being is now. But now, in 30 seconds from now, will be a new now, right?
In a second.
Yeah, and a second from now is a new now. So who am I being right now? Even if I wake up today, like Josh said, and I choose to step into being the man I said I wanted to be, instead of me saying I'm going to be someday, one day, how would that version of me operate now, as if I'm already being that? What can I do right now to be that? Like, if someone said, hey, I want to be in the best shape of my life, you know, well, what's that version of you look like? When you're in the best shape of your life, what's your on the agenda today? What are you doing? And who are you being, right? And to just go ahead and be that now. When we decided to start a podcast, just because a few fellas buy a few microphones and decide to have a show, don't mean you're going to be any good at it, right? And we've had growing pains from the beginning. But at some point, we had to just choose to be it now. Ready or not, we don't know what the fuck we're doing. We're going to clarity comes in the doing. But instead of us like buying courses and talking shit to each other for a year, saying we going to do this thing, eventually we just drew a line in the sand, bought some mics, and decided to step into being the Tattoo Guardians podcast right the fuck now.
Yeah.
And like figuring it out as we go. But we've been operating out of being it. And since we decided to operate this podcast and just decide to be it, that immediately led to the doing, and is immediately led to the having. And we've had wonderful growth. We just hit 25,000 subscribers, and I think 20,000 of them have come in just the past 6 weeks.
Yeah, very quickly.
Thank you, every single one of you listeners and all you subscribing. My God, we're living out this discussion in real time right now. We chose our being, and out of that came doing, and out of that now we have 25,000 beautiful souls tuning in, listening to this discussion today.
I can remember when I decided to be a podcaster. It was after our class, and Josh was like, we should fucking do a podcast. And then we hung up, and then instantly I was like, bro, we're fucking doing this podcast with Carlson. Right.
Man.
And then, if you notice, like, when, like, today, you know, the listeners don't see this, but we get a countdown. We see it on the screen. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And you have no choice but to go. You're on the air. It's live. It's time to be.
Yeah.
I mean, we were already being before the countdown
that's
started.
Right.
That's true. Yeah. And that's usually where a lot of the best, a lot of times that's some of the best stuff is when we're just like, when we first get on and we're just actually being ourselves completely.
Yeah.
We've noticed that. So we've always said like, we should just start recording immediately, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a prescription for anybody who's interested, because I always want to like put something into a usable format.
I love that. Yes.
So I hear us all talking about being and, you know, already being as if, right? We keep saying as if it already is, whatever.
Yeah.
So what I like to do is, okay, this is going to get a little bit like spiritual in a way.
Oh, shit.
So, okay. I'm not like a particularly religious person, but I do pay attention to just about everything. And I'm interested from a philosophical standpoint.
Yeah,
the teachings and stuff like that. So one of the things that is present in some of those old scriptures is the concept of God or whatever it is being titled I am, the
Come
words
on.
I am.
Yeah.
So the reason that resonates with me is because I see it as it's kind of like you're placing an order, right? So I think that the error that people often will make is like, oh, I'm not very good at this, or I'm not, you know, I'm bad at math. I am blah, blah, blah. And so what they're doing is they're creating themselves as the thing that they are describing. And so as Come you on. Were talking, Matt,
yes.
a minute ago, you were talking about something like being, you know, as if it's already happening now, to imagine it that way. So my idea, the reason I'm calling it a prescription is because by calling yourself and sort of labeling yourself the thing that you aim to be now, you're bringing it into present tense by saying, I am courageous. I am loving, right? There's no hesitation. There's no
That's
delay.
Right. Yeah.
And you're bringing it into the moment. You can say, I am wealthy already, right?
Yes.
And rather than just imagining it as if, because even putting the words as if in
That's
there,
right. yeah.
you're putting a little bit of distance
That's
between
right.
you and the goal.
That's right. Yeah.
Or the purpose.
That's right.
And by the way, if you look at like religious, they say, do not take the Lord's name in vain, right? Mm. But on other parts of these same scriptures, they say the Lord's name is I am. Mm-hmm. So the way that I interpret that is do not use the words I am in vain.
Come on,
so in other
Carson.
Words, yeah. If you were to say I am bad at, you know, communicating with people. Yeah. You're creating that.
Yeah.
So just change your language to I am good at, you know, communication, for example.
Yes. Oh, I love it. You know, one of my favorite scriptures, and I've said it on the show before, which is call those things which be not as though they were.
Same kind of concept.
Yeah. Call those things which be not as though they were. Why? Because you've all been given power to create and the authority to. But again, most of us don't even realize our own superpowers, but they're in motion, whether you're aware of it or not. You're creating every day it's just set on auto. We're trying to bring the conversation to your awareness that you actually have a choice in your creation process every single day. Mm-hmm. And man, going straight to the source in your power, i.e. your language. There is power in your word. And like Carson just said, it's funny you bring that up, Carson. On Mondays, we teach TBM, Tattoo Business Mastery. We've got three different coaching programs. So it's a long day of coaching. And the number one thing we did with all our students yesterday is everyone worked on their I am statements. And we have every student create a list of their own I am statements. And this is after, for lack of better terms, combating all their inadequacies, their fears, their doubts, their unworthiness. I'm not good enough. Welcome to the human experience. If you're a listener and you don't feel worthy, you don't feel good enough, welcome to the planet. So now what? Right. And so we had everyone create their I am statements. We take it a step further and encourage everyone to memorize them simply from re-saying them to themselves daily, morning and night, just to get in the habit of reminding themselves, kind of like your three-word anchor is their I am statement. So, man, I couldn't agree with you more. That's a wonderful prescription. And to further that prescription, because he's saying almost be real cognizant about anything you say after you say the words I am. Whatever follows after that, you're in creative power.
Yeah, just pause. If you could even just pause. Anytime you catch yourself saying I am, just don't speak and think. Yeah. Make sure that the next thing you say is what you want.
Right.
I think this is a really good way. Hopefully some of our listeners can feel the way I'm feeling now, is to where I feel like I hear a lot of people say, hey, I hear you guys and I know you're super positive, but what about toxic positivity? What about just believing everything is okay when it's not okay? And I think they're looking at it the wrong way again. And this is a good example of how to kind of get the ball rolling on something like this instead of just, you know what I mean? Like, I think people distill it down into such a simple term of almost lying to themselves. Like, everything's wonderful when there's clearly problems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think there is such a thing as toxic positivity.
Absolutely.
But I think it's one of those things like, you know, like there's no weeds in the garden. There's no weeds in the garden. There's no, you know, something like that rather than, it's the principles that we're talking about is programming technically, and it takes time, and it's not an instantaneous thing necessarily, because we've already wired ourselves to have doubt and to have all these, you know, for the past, for me, 45 years, I've continuously wired negativity and BS. For me, I've been working on this for a while. So now I've been rerouting my, you know, wires so that I can start to, because I mean, I do agree that there is such a thing as toxic positivity, and there's a right way to do it, and there's I don't want to say wrong, but there's an effective way to do it and an ineffective way to do it.
Yes, and that's been I think the struggle for a lot of people when I try to describe to them how to approach this. So I'm definitely, you know, you've heard me in the past say this, like my favorite episodes are when I learn a lot, and I'm definitely learning a lot today. So I appreciate what you're bringing to the table, Carson. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, self-deception is hard to spot by ourselves. And I going back to like the two wanting to be a three, I believe that it's who you surround yourself with and like-minded individuals. You know, if you're around people that are stuck in a lot of denial or disillusion of like the reality, you know, because like life happens, you know, and there's, you know, again, you're provided with a choice of like, you can either view this as happening to you or for you. If you view it as happening for you, then you can take more effective or positive means to like get more center solution, more centered in the solution, than, taking the victim role, which guilty.
I think the act of calling yourself a two, trying to become a three, is not working in your favor.
Hey!
I'm not saying...
And it's for explaining purposes.
You are definitely a fucking two and a half, Hep.
It's more for like visual insight.
Sure, but your vision is as important as anything else. I think maybe more important than most things. And if you're visualizing yourself as a two...
Right, you brought it up a couple of times.
And I get your point.
Yeah.
But and I'm not saying walk around saying I'm a 10, but you know what I'm saying? Like something that I do sometimes that is like a hack almost, like because you don't want to
say. And
real
quick, I think he can walk around saying I am a 10 to himself all fucking day. Now, he don't need to tell the whole world, hey, you met me yet? I'm a motherfucking 10. But you want to be a 10. And if you, like we said a minute ago, if you keep planting the seed, I'm a two, what kind of tree are you going to be? A fucking two. But if you start planting the seed, I am a fucking 10. You know what I'm saying?
Well, then that's going to fall in the level of perspective in infinity, right? Because
sure. So how about for infinity, you operate from being a 10 on your scale of 1 to 10.
I'm just saying, in that case, I'm going to operate as 100 million.
Well, fucking with yourself, in relationship with yourself, be your best right the fuck now, I think is what...
Think about this hack for a second. If you were to... Because the 1 through 10 is a little bit too general. I think if you get more specific, like, for example, I was talking about bad communicator, right? Mm-hmm. So the hack that I would have for that, rather than saying I'm a bad communicator, because if I don't believe the words that I'm speaking, that's the toxic positivity that Josh was talking about. If I'm just saying some shit that I don't believe, because I have to believe what I'm saying in order for it to have a positive impact. So in other words, if I believe I'm a bad communicator, but I'm saying I'm a good communicator, that's not necessarily going to help because I don't believe it. So the way around that is what I would say is I have historically been a bad communicator. And so what that does is it leaves it back there and it puts me in a now position where I can going forward, or you could say going forward, I am a good communicator rather than just like, because then you're not lying to yourself.
Yeah. Even if you throw in the word choose, even if you insert the word choose, even if in the, I love that, Carson, you put the past where it belongs, back in the past. Today's a clean slate, a blank canvas. So many people were trying to live their daily life as if you're doing a cover up of a cover up of a cover up because you're carrying shit from yesterday. Right. But if we can put things in the past where they belong, like you said, at one point, historically, I have been a bad communicator. He put it back there today. Like you said, you can either just declare it moving forward, I'm going to be a great communicator, or at least moving forward. Yes. Or I choose from this moment forward, I choose to be a great communicator. Like you're declaring, you're taking your power back, exercising as the creator you are. I choose to create a new piece today in my own life. Mm-hmm. You know, as an artist, you get to choose the piece you're creating, how you're doing it, what needle groupings, what machine one of Carson's you're going to use, right? Same within our own
shameless
life.
Plug.
You know, for real, though.
We're not supposed to talk about tattooing right
now. Ah, shit. And I'm the one that fucked it up. I can't believe this.
It's in our blood. We can't not.
That's right.
That's our being.
Man. Yes. Oh, that's so
good. It's funny because before you got down here, I was telling him, I'm like, you know, I was going to try to turn it up a notch and like not cuss. And then like
I showed up.
No, it was before that. But yeah, that ain't happening. That's
Carson,
a tough
Carson's
one.
Answer to that was fuck that. So
yeah. Man, I really do believe it just goes back to our being, and for us to check in, who am I being today, right? Mm-hmm. Starting with on my own damn team. But being the creators, I believe we can even create future events from our state of being right now. And I also believe once we choose our state of being, that nothing and no one has the power to waver that unless I allow it. So let's say you and I hop on a plane after this and we're going to fly out west and meet Carson and Carlton for dinner, right?
Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah. Carlton's got us. Steak, chicken fingers.
Right.
But anyways.
What I want to add to that is what you're basically saying is that we can create our reality, right?
Yes.
And I think that you're right. I think that the missing piece of that is that the fact is that we are already, no matter
what. Come on. We already are.
You can't not. And so it becomes extremely important to be aware of that, because if you are aware that you are creating your outcome, right?
Yeah.
Then you can look back. Like I can look at my results today and I can say I created this. And if there's something that I don't like, that means I created that too.
Yeah.
Which gives me the power, it gives me the responsibility in the moment to be intentional with my thinking, with my thoughts. That's the whole reason to do this I am pause, is that going forward, you want to be intentional with what you create, because whatever you're thinking, you know how they say like positivity or abundance mindset versus scarcity mindset.
Yeah.
Like scarcity mindset produces lack, and abundance produces, so on. So that's the whole point, is like, it's not just that you can create future events, it's that you are, whether you want to or not. It's like, be cautious, you know, how that turns out and what you're thinking about.
Yes, thoughts become things.
Yeah.
I love that. So if we fly out to meet them, and let's say halfway there in our layover, our flight, you know, gets changed and now we're stuck in the airport, you know, let's say Delta Airlines, you know, our flight's delayed. That's something Delta's doing. It doesn't have to change who we're being. My state of being hasn't changed. Delta's flight has, but it doesn't change who I'm being. Let's say we get there to our hotel and it's not ready yet. That's something the hotel's doing or not doing. It doesn't change who I'm being, right? But just those two examples, you know how many people will, their way of being will change because of those outward circumstances? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Just being blown by the wind. And then that ends up creating more of all the unpleasantries that, that took them out the game to begin with. You know, but if someone's walking and knows who they are and they're choosing to be love, you know, and to be whole, to be gratitude, no matter what the fuck's going on, knowing that, oh, this plane just got changed. Well, that's going to be weird to see how that works out in our benefit, knowing that it life happens for us. It's not going to change who I'm being. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's the game. And a guy rolling like that, staying in his power, has way more ability to cultivate and create a wonderful encounter, a wonderful experience, and a wonderful trip versus the person that's pissed at Delta. Now they're the victim. And you know what I'm saying? Like you always say, people bitch about traffic when they are traffic.
Well, and I heard that from Josh.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like man. That. And, you know, earlier this morning, I heard a gentleman say or saw a quote where he said, what was it? You're not having an experience of suffering, but rather you're suffering in your experience. Wow. Yeah. Who were we being in the midst of whatever?
That's probably a good thing to keep in mind when I'm getting tattooed.
Yeah. Oh, good stuff.
Carson, are aliens real?
I don't believe in aliens, no.
Josh,
I'll tell you why.
You think we're alone?
I think it's, yeah. I mean, I don't know that I would say we're alone. I just don't think. So let me extrapolate a little bit. I think that the phenomenon or the phenomena of other, you know, non-physical, whatever it is, isn't unreal. It's that our perception of it is incorrect.
Sure.
And so I don't believe that it's, I'm not saying that I don't think something exists. I'm saying that I don't think it's people from another planet traveled through the space and came to Earth to talk to us or whatever.
Right. So you don't believe that aliens are necessarily here, but that they in some form exist out there somewhere, some way. Being life of some form.
But Josh, if Carson is an alien, maybe he's not allowed to say.
Right. Typical alien, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just an NPC.
All right.
He said typical alien. That's exactly what we would expect an alien to say. Exactly.
They've hid it from us this long. You think Carson's just going to blow, spill the beans now?
Why?
Why did I ask?
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah.
Fuck it. Why not? The floodgates can be open.
I can't believe it. I was totally going to ask the same thing.
Oh, my God. No, but like,
invention.
I don't know. Time's a construct. You know, it's something that we've programmed because all we have is now and who we be. You know, so it kind of goes hand in hand. I may have threw a little comedy on it, but then you think of things like, I don't know. Marvel Universe and the multiverse, right? I sit and watch them in chronological order. And then it's like, then you got cartoon Superman and then black Superman. And then it's like, okay, you can add all this because at any given time, there's an infinity number of us in another dimension doing something slightly different. Like I might be the one with dreads, you know, Josh might be the one with the machine shop. Mike might be taller and I might be smaller. You know, we just,
you're talking about like, what do they call it?
Multiverse.
Superpositioning. Wormholes.
Multiverse. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, superpositions.
Yep.
Which they've done a lot of studies on, and it, that does seem to have things will, you know, react, you know, from something over here will have pain and it'll feel it over here. It's pretty crazy.
Or like, what do they call it? Quantum entanglement, when mm-hmm. they would shoot something through, and if you weren't viewing it, like it doesn't even happen. Yeah. You know,
it only, what,
you said that aliens and time construct is connected. Why?
I don't know. It just seems like in books I've read in the past, you know, I read this book when I was 17 called Behold a Pale Horse, and it was written.
I read that.
Yeah. So how they were speaking of aliens was like the only way to unite, right? Because now I'm getting into my, like, our listeners, put your foil hats on. But it says that the only way to unite a one world order and a complete dictatorship is to bring something external from the planet, aliens, right?
Yeah, I would say that.
That's the only option.
That, well, the, you know, I know what you're talking about, but I think how I would connect that would be it's a, like a fake alien invasion kind of thing. That's like Ronald Reagan famously said, you know, the way to unite the people of Earth would be, well, one way that it could occur is if there was an alien threat, we would all unite against the alien threat. And I think that it's possible to put my tinfoil hat on for a second. I think it's possible that something or some group of people could create a perspective of that so that we would unite together. But I don't know that they want us to unite.
Yeah, right. It seems like the division's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, divide and conquer.
Yep. You know, if we could actually, you know, and if the whole world knew the power they had to choose and alter their own state of being, I believe that alone would change the whole world. You know,
totally. And it goes back to like what you were trying to quote Carson on from the last episode that he alluded to about like there is nothing to like heal. It's already healed, which ultimately brings you back to like living into your power of now and who you're being and yeah. being conscious of that. And I'm watching how I'm saying, and I appreciate it because, like, you know, for our listeners, Josh teed me up with Carlton, or Josh teed me up with Carson, and then I actually got to meet him, and him along with my sponsor are like the only two people that like would, you know, I don't know, we talked for 10 minutes and he was already like bringing my awareness to like how I was speaking and what I was saying about myself. My sponsor does the same thing, which I appreciated that. And I don't know where the fuck I was going with that. Oh, other than right now, like I'm being more cognizant.
Yeah.
Almost to a default to like what I'm going to say after I say I am, you know.
I love that. But out of all the tattoo artists here in Dayton, Ohio.
Yes.
Because when you and I met, you were just like, I don't know, almost fresh off the streets or out of prison or, you know.
Yeah, pretty fresh. Yeah.
Whatever. Out of all the tattoo artists in the world, let alone Dayton, Ohio. How did you become the man that sits at this table? And out of all the tattoo artists and all of the listeners, how did you become the man that became friends with Carlton that then was the bridge for you to become friends with Carson, right?
By my being.
Okay.
And can I call you forward, Matt?
Please.
So that's what you were just describing, Hip, is that you, me and your sponsor call, like you, some people would say it's calling you out. I call it calling you forward or calling you like into.
Love that.
It's the fullness of what you are. But the way that I wouldn't ask how, because how is not relevant.
Okay. I don't think. Love it. Oh.
But why?
Why or who? I thought you were going to say who. But okay. Why?
Well, what or why?
Okay.
You know, what is it that you have become and why would be my question, right? Okay. Of all the people in Ohio, in yeah. Dayton, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Ohio. Because how, it's, and it's particularly when moving forward with something, like, for example, like when I create this tattoo machine that I'm working on right now, right? If I ask myself how, what that brings up is complication. What I'm basically saying is like, well, how am I going to do this? Because there's all these obstacles in the way. And so my focus is on obstacles. But if I consider the what and the why and just allow how to happen,
mm-hmm.
because I'm a controlling person, but I understand that my controlling personality comes from a fear of lack of control, because none of us have that that control.
Yeah.
But if I'm focused on what I want and I keep my vision on what it is I want and why it is I want that, then the how can unfold naturally, right?
Come on. Yes, absolutely. And we say that all the time. The how's not our job. Focus on what you want and the how will reveal itself, you know? And I think what I was really just trying to break down, and I don't know, Carson, when you travel, when you go out to dinner, if you ever take yourself out and dine by yourself, when you run into other humans, especially if you attract even strangers to you, what percentage of the time do you feel like most of the time you run into complete assholes and dickheads, or you run into kind people? What would you say you run into more of, people that are kind to you or mean to you?
Kind.
Yeah. I know that you guys could put me on a plane, send me anywhere in the world, and after 20 minutes arriving, I'm already in love with whoever I just met, and they're in love with me. Why is that? You know, because Carson is kind, because I am love. And since I'm being love and kindness, that's what I'm going to find and who I'm going to find out in the world. I believe we also attract to ourselves who we are being. That's why when you run into negative Nellies, victim mentalities that can't trust the world, they're jaded, everyone's out to get me, we're all fucked, their experience seems to be perpetuated into that scenario. And there's always someone that fucking did them wrong again. It could be 5 years, you run into them and they're still talking shit about how somebody said something about them. They're the victim. They don't realize they're the common denominator, who they are being, and they're creating more of the very things that they're complaining about. But their complaining is their creative power, i.e. words, right? But when someone's not operating from that place of being and they're operating from more of I believe the ultimate superpower is self-love. And when we're operating from love to be love to the world, that's what I believe we cultivate and create and call forth, like Carson said, out of others. Call those things which be not as though they were. Go ahead, brother.
I think you're talking about... It's funny. It made me had a realization while you were talking. That I jokingly refer to myself as the mirror of true self-reflection sometimes.
Mm.
But I think while you were talking, what I realized was that that's what I view other people as. That's what we are. We're mirrors of each other and true self-reflection, right?
Mm.
And one other thing. I know this will be controversial a little bit, but I don't believe in self-love.
Ooh.
I think love... Love is a radiant energy. Mm-hmm. Not you can't receive your own transmission, in my opinion.
Mm.
So that's why it's important to be loving if you wish to be loved, right?
Mm.
Because you can't love yourself, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're both a transmitter and a receiver, right?
Yeah.
But you can't receive your own transmission.
Got you.
In my opinion.
Right. Okay, well, maybe my definition of self-love is receiving love.
Yeah, which we get from
like
the mirrors.
Not necessarily taking the credit from it being the origin, the only place where it originates from, but being connected to, tapped into source, to love, being love, the vessel of love, allowing love to flow through me. And I think my definition of self-love is receiving it for myself as being a conduit for others, no matter
where it's being transmitted from. Right?
I would say you are loved.
Yeah. I would say not only am that I am loved, I would say I am love. So I'm not trying to get more of who and what I already am fully abundant in. Go ahead. Quiet. Come on.
I can see where I can see where Carson's coming from as far as like an actual definition, you know, but I think that ultimately it means the same thing, you know, when you talk about loving yourself, whether it's accepting yourself or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it means the same thing, but ultimately being love does seem to be what radiates and brings it back in. So I guess that would be the mirror.
Mm. See, I think of love as it's an emotion. It's not like a tangible, and again, my opinion, and I know this isn't a popular opinion, but I think of it more of a, like, it's not like a tangible, like a substance or like a entity or something like that. It's an emotion. It's something that I give. And so my guess would be that because, Matt, you are so loving, that people are more readily loving you back.
Mm.
And so it's a reciprocation sort of effect that's happening.
Sure. Sure.
And the people that...
But I think that... So what the purpose... Part of... I think I'm pretty relentless with my words and the way that I think, right?
I love that.
And I think that the reason that I would be, in this case, would be it puts the responsibility in my hands, right? Mm. I have a response. If I want to be loved, I must be giving love, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why.
Because I feel like self-love, it's isolated.
Mm.
And I'm not claiming that you, Matt, are isolated, because obviously you're not. But I think you understand what I'm saying.
And maybe I think that's why. Yeah, go ahead, Josh.
Sorry. The people, that's why the people that are constantly victims, like you said, 10 years later, you'll see them and they're still complaining about the same stuff, because that's exactly what they're doing. It's the opposite of love, basically. They're hating themselves, and they become, you know, the whole 80-20 rule I talked about, they become that 20%. You know, and they surround themselves with like-minded people, and they're just misery. The whole misery loves company thing.
I also don't believe in self-hate in the same way that love is radiant energy, but I think you can produce hate. I think you can be self-destructive.
Right. Mm. Yeah. It kind of comes down to like more how you define it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I must just be basking in it so much, I can't tell where it ends and begins, fellas. It's just everywhere.
And unfortunately, what we've discovered, particularly with Matt, is because he radiates love constantly, and we don't live in a world where we see that much love all the time, we're always defending him. We're always like, you know, we bring this up a lot. Like, you know, Matt's the friend that we have to kind of explain to somebody. Okay, hey, my boy Matt's coming in. You know, yes, this is how he is all the time, and it's real. And he's not trying to sell you property or timeshare. You know, he really is. Just, you know, that's really Matt.
Yeah.
And I drink my own juice.
He's the guy that leaves those little pamphlets in the bathroom.
Right.
But you know what? And I love that, because that doesn't alter... That never alters who I'm being. If anything, it causes me to be more love.
Right.
You know, because most of those people, like, it is foreign to them. They're thinking it's fake. There's an ulterior motive. So the only thing that ever allows it to make sense to them is the consistency of me being that all the time. And eventually they're like, and I've had people that didn't like me for, and after 3 years being like, my God, Matt. Fucking, you're the real deal, and I want some of what you got. But it took them 3 years to decide that it was real. You know, and, you know, there's an ongoing joke at Aisle 9, you know, that Brenner brings up. When other people say I'm fake, then they'll be like, well, that motherfucker deserves an Oscar because he ain't broke character in 30 years, you know?
It's funny you said 30.
Yeah.
Are you 30?
No, that's why he said that. No, they just said he ain't broke character in 30 years. Maybe they didn't know me when I was 10. or whatever. No, it's funny because you said it was funny because Carson mentioned his A's on this episode, and I was like, no shit. And I was sitting here like, I'm the old fucker on this panel. Like, I'm older than everybody on the show right now.
I'm older than you.
I'm older.
Are you?
I'm 48.
Fuck yeah. Okay. Damn. I don't know why I thought I was older than Josh. Okay, good. I mean,
you got to take, though, I got stage 4 cancer, and I still look better than you, though.
So you do. You right?
There's some love.
Yeah, you
look
really good. Thank you. I was gonna mention that.
I feel amazing.
Pretty healthier.
I feel amazing. I get a scan coming up soon, and I feel so good about it because life is amazing. I just feel it to my core. I can tell that I'm not sick anymore.
Now you got some color back in your
I
face.
I do.
Yeah,
you look happy.
I was looking at some old, we were going through some old footage the other day, and I saw such a dramatic change, you know. And I was just talking to my wife last night about this, about, it's so strange to say it, but I literally am happier than I've ever been in my life. And I'm a pretty happy person in general. I'm just so happy and with where I'm at in every aspect of my life. And I don't know. It just feels good to say that.
Jeez. Yeah. It's so beautiful, man.
Josh, you know how Matt was pointing out that you're an empath, right? So let me ask you this. And has there ever been scenarios where you can like turn off taking on someone's energy?
I've not been able to discover that. I sure would love to. You know, and when I talk about being an empath, some people get weird about it. Like they think I'm psychic or something. Ultimately, I'm just really good at reading body language. You know, I'm just really good at facial cues and stuff like that. And, you know, you might say like I can feel the energy, but I believe that it really comes down to body language. And I just, from my own trauma, from my childhood and my father's abuse, has led me to be prepared for anything, you know.
And I think it's super useful to be empathic. And I think it's also very useful to be neutral to other people's energy.
Mm.
You know, cause like you can use the empathy, I guess.
Yeah, I think so.
To discern truth.
Yeah.
And, you know, so forth. But, I think the trick is to just be neutral.
Right. Yeah. Which I said, this is why I said to observe, not absorb.
Mm-hmm. It's difficult.
Well, that's what made me think about it. Cause like, if you're real heavy on being an empath, like say it's an important meeting that you're having to attend to, and you're picking up the shit energy from the boss who's getting ready to hire you instead of like,
So it still goes back to your being. Are you going to absorb who they're being and now take it on and alter your way of being due to the circumstances, the other energies around you? Or are you going to observe where they're at and it not change your way of being, but maybe you change your own way of being to provide what's going to be useful due to what you've observed? Anything but to absorb and for other people's beings to alter your way of being, which is what most of the world does. And I'd say is a, for lack of better terms, almost a snare that empaths can fall into, because if you can naturally just pick up on it and observe, you know, the temptation to, or even like Josh acts like it just happens automatically. He absorbs it. And now he's got to carry not only who he was being, but what he's picking up on their being. Right. And it can become weighty.
And so to tie us back, there's a mechanism for that, right? That's what we've been talking about partly today, right? Mm-hmm. So, Josh, you said it has been difficult for you. Or actually, what you said was it is difficult for you to be neutral. But the solution or the mechanism for shifting into what he's describing is to shift your being, your way of being.
Right.
And a lot of times that's so abstract that people don't really get what that's supposed to mean. Mm-hmm. How do I do that? So the mechanism is to change, like, in my opinion, start with your language, right? Your language was, it is difficult for me to be neutral. So change it. It has been difficult for me to change that.
Okay.
It is not any longer, right? Now, I am able to be neutral, or I am working on, you know what I mean?
Right.
So that you divide the timeline, so to speak.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Then continue. Don't keep pulling it along with you. Right. In other words,
and this isn't something that just happens overnight as well. This is like a path of something we're working on.
It's all in your brain where it's going to happen. It's a reprogramming of your own, you know, perspectives.
Mm. So good.
Which goes into consistency again, you know, to constantly be aware.
And being aware and observer of yourself. And now he's re-bringing up to observe and monitor your own language, which is connected to your beliefs or your ideas. And if we monitor any of that, if we start with our language, it's going to have direct proportion. If I'm monitoring my language, now I'm monitoring my belief. I'm monitoring my ideas. And I just observe myself stepping into declaring, speaking a belief or an idea that doesn't serve me, that's been limiting to me. The second I'm aware, this is a limiting belief I've been, like Carson said, bringing along with me. The only difference is I see it now. I have a new choice to let it go. And to replace it. And
I'm
kind of
contradicting myself in a way, because I'm talking about mechanisms, right? And how to put it into action. And the how, a second ago, I was saying, well, don't think about the how, think about the why and the what, which is more about the being. But for a person like me, who's very analytical and can get caught up in something like that, I think it's back to all the very first point of this conversation, which was the be, do, have. Like, you can't only exist in that be. The doing is ultimately the how. And so you have to take some action. It's like, there's a saying that says, pray for the bus and then run like hell. Right? So you can't just pray for the bus and then sit on the couch and expect to catch the bus, right?
Yeah.
You got to pray that you will catch it and then get off your ass and run to the bus stop.
That's right. But how you're going to do it is in direct proportion to who you chose to be in it. They're connected. It's not an either or, it's an and. But the doing, I think, is fruit of the root of the being. That the doing is branches and fruit on the tree, or maybe the fruit is the having. The doing is the branches on the tree, but the root is you, the being, and they're all connected.
Yeah.
You know, do you guys ever hear that story of, like, you know, the whole town was being evacuated and they evacuate the whole town. This huge storm's coming. Jeez, what are the water tornadoes? hurricanes. Yeah, big hurricanes. Water tornado?
Tsunami?
Sorry, guys, my age. Just water hurricane. Let me correct that. I am so fucking young. No, but anyways. Everyone leave. They're evacuating. Hurricane's coming. No, there will be, every house is going to be leveled. And so everyone left. There's this one dude that stuck around. He's like, nah, God's got me. He decided, I'm going to be in faith. Don't matter what storm's coming, God's got me, right? The news came and said, hey, you got to go and evacuate. No, I'm good. God's got me, right? Here comes the storm. Here comes the flood. You know, now this dude's out of his house on his roof. Here comes a boat by, and they're here to save him. Hey, last chance. Come on, hop in the boat. We got you, sir. And he's on his roof. His whole house is like underwater. He's like, no, I'm good. God's got me. The good Lord's got me, brother. You know, and they're like, come on, hop in. He's like, nope, God's got me. After pleading with him, they just left him. Now the water's rising up higher. He's up on his chimney. You know, here comes a chopper and they drop a ladder. They're like, hop on, climb up. He's like, no, God's got me, right? Well, fucking, they drove away and the storm came. That dude drowned and died. He gets up to heaven.
Send the
Right, multiple times.
Didn't God send the warnings in the boat?
Come on, he gets up in front of God and he's like, God, I thought you had me. Why didn't you help me? Why didn't you do anything for me? He's like, man, I gave you an announcement. I sent you the report. I sent you the news. I sent you a boat. I sent you a chopper with a ladder. What more did you want? Right? And there's a difference. So that's what, to back up Carson's point, being and doing. The dude was being in faith, but he forgot to be open to all the different avenues of what the how can look like. We can get so fixated on this is who I'm going to be, and this is the only way through, this is the only how, and miss all the hows that are revealed to us along the way. Yeah, man.
Yep. It's a great story.
My God. And this is why in our being, and when we're seeking, whatever answers we're seeking, I've learned to be open to the whole universe, not knowing the vessel
that God, Source, the Divine, is going to use as the vessel to give me the very thing, the very answer I had been seeking. And guys, I'll tell you, the more I've been open, I have gotten some nuggets through the gas station attendant that sold me a pack of cigarettes at Speedway because I was open. You know, scripture says, God says, I'll make a rock cry out. I'll use a donkey if I can't find a human to get, you know what I'm saying? Like, and for us to always be open to the how and open to possibility and just having a knowing in our state of being of who we really are, our essence, and to trust the process. And part of that trust is not being closed off to how we think it's supposed to go down. I don't know about you guys, but it always usually happens in a way I couldn't have ordered up or described. And I'm just so glad I was open to it and not shutting myself off the second it didn't go the way I thought it was supposed to go. Right? That's where it becomes like the whole world's our playground. That's where, like, out of his three anchoring points, like being courageous and love, and I forget the third one. One, I have to remind myself because, you know, Carson, I love that you're such an analytical guy. I love that you're so cognizant and thoughtful before you even speak. I love that about you. And I'm a guy that can get so passionate and serious that I need brothers in my life to bring the comedy back in. That's why I love when Hip will just all of a sudden talk shit and make fun of me, to snap me out of it and have a moment of like, oh, we don't have to take it all so seriously. And I can accidentally lean that way. And so I need to be reminded. And the more I've grown in love is to keep it light and just have fun. And to not make it as big of a deal as I've always made it has been medicine for me.
I can relate with that for sure. I can get too serious. I have historically
been
too serious at times.
Yes, not today.
Yeah, definitely not today. And I am aware of it, and I am taking, you know, I'm taking action to lighten up sometimes.
Lighten up, okay. Francis.
Typical alien.
Man.
You know, there's two things that are fucking super cool. One, when Carson, you know, talked about we're mirrors for each other and all people, you know, like, and it's like when he said that, and I've been thinking this entire time, it's like, God damn, if that's the case, I'm fucking happy at the mirrors I'm looking at right now in this very moment.
God, look over here. Look how good you look, boy.
I'm young, man. And I thought of a great name for this podcast episode. Water tornadoes.
Sharknadoes.
Right. Sharknadoes.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Woo. It sounds like we're going to create our own book of definitions. We're going to redefine self-love and hurricanes today. Carson, can I ask you a couple personal questions about your personal life?
Yes, sir.
Do you have kids? Are you married? Nope. Any of that?
Nope. I have a girlfriend, and she's pretty awesome, but...
Fuck yeah.
No kids. No, never been married, and... Okay. Yeah, I've been mostly career-oriented.
My man's packing light. I love that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I have a cool dog. You probably keep hearing him.
Yes, and I think we met your dog last time. Is it brown?
He's a German short hair pointer.
Oh, wow.
So he's got a brown head, and then he's got like white and brown ticked body.
Okay.
That's cool.
Very cool. I know we're not supposed to do this, but I'm going to break protocol since we're nearing the end, because my man just said he's working on a new machine, and I feel like he puts out more hits and more records than Tech N9ne in the form of machines. Like, my God, he's up on Apple. You know what I'm saying?
The packaging is just as cool as Apple, by the way.
I'm wondering when this new machine comes out, if all of a sudden your current one's just going to stop working like an iPhone. I'm just kidding.
Real quick, it's funny because shout out to Matt Alsman in Nebraska, wherever the fuck that is, when he was guest spotting or last year at Hell City, he was riding in my Traverse. And when I back up, I got a 360 view above my Traverse. And he was like, what the fuck is that? And I was like, dude, it's the craziest thing. But like when I picked up my sponsorship with Numa, like they gave me my own satellite to follow my car around. And like for a split second, he was like, what? And he's like, fuck you. So now he's got a car like that. And he messaged me a couple months ago. He's like, got that Numa satellite following my nice. Car.
Nice. Yeah.
So well, I know in case, data collection.
Yes.
I know that it's, you know, it's against the rules to talk about tattooing, but like I said, too, since we're nearing the end, and I did hear Carson, you mentioned earlier that you were going to be getting tattooed in a couple of days. It sounded like mm-hmm. a pretty large project. What's going on with that?
Yeah, it's my last really big piece of real estate left. I'm trying to, I decided maybe 6 months ago that I was going to finish my body suit.
Nice.
Which is not something that I ever really set out to do, but now I'm kind of like, well, I've got these odd spots here and there, and I figure it's just time to finish.
That's awesome.
So I've been getting tattooed more and more lately, and so my last big blank piece of canvas is my ass and the back of my upper legs. It's like just down to like my knee.
My sensitive spots.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to the pain, but yeah, so Nick Baxter's doing a big piece there, and we're going to start that on that. We're doing a 2-day appointment Thursday really? And Friday
with something
that's
like that.
Probably going to be badass.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit!
Literally.
Do you?
I'm
ever
sorry.
Use,
I'll let myself out.
Do you ever use any kind of numbing cream or anything like that when you do such big sessions?
Normally, I leave it up to the artist to determine what they're comfortable with. Like, I recently got tattooed by Robert Hernandez, and he had some stuff called Tack.
Okay.
That was kind of helpful, but I don't like to ask for it. And sure. You know, unless it's like miserable and horrible, and also my experience has usually been that numbing stuff makes it harder for me in the long term. In other words, like the first hour might be cool, and right. then it's like way worse. Like the transition from painless to painful is hard.
Sure, sure. Kind of like suddenly. I bring it up because I recently, I've never really used much numbing cream. To be honest, I never really thought a lot about it. And I know I would hear people complaining, like it makes skin spongy or affects healing. I know there's always something going around that seems to be the hot new numbing thing. And I just kind of stayed away from it. But we had a guest artist come out to the studio recently, Rick Cheerion, great artist. And he had something called Numb 27. And he was like, hey, have you tried this? And kind of like I was just saying, I was like, no, not really, not too interested. And he just kind of going on and on about it. And the packaging was beautiful and everything. So he said that he had a particular client that like everybody in the shop did not want to tattoo this particular person because she was just like a wiggler. She would move around. And she was supposed to get her stomach tattooed. So he used this stuff. I guess it's like you can use it like pre-numbing. You know, you put it on like an hour and a half before, put some plastic wrap on it. And he says that he was told you could get like 4 hours of like numb. And it doesn't affect the skin. And there's no sponginess or anything. And he said she sat like a rock. And I was like, really? Like, you know, I really clicked with this guy. So I felt like maybe I should listen to him. So long story short, I tried it out. I've only used it a couple of times. But man, seriously, like if you get a chance to get your hands on it, Numb 27, it really, no sponginess, no effective healing. And I did two days back to back on someone's ribs, and he literally said he couldn't feel a thing. No, not sure. You know, if it's, and I need more testing, obviously needs to be done with me, but I know I mentioned it to Hip, and he said he'd been using it as well. So yeah, man, I don't know. This could be, if it's something that really worked, like it's exciting for myself. Like I want to get tattooed, and it's like, I know people get weird about it and they're like, you got to earn it. I think I've earned it. I think I've got, you know, quite a few tattoos and I've earned it. You know what I mean? But if I want to get my armpits tattooed or something like that, if it doesn't affect the healing, I'm down. I'm down.
I got
sure,
my armpit tattooed about a month ago.
I see that.
See, that seems like it'd be horrible.
Yeah.
Matt, and the older you get too.
It was okay.
The older you get, it seems to just be like worse.
You know what I found is that once I decided that I wanted to finish my bodysuit, suddenly it changed a little bit. I think having a goal made it more, it's not that it's any easier, but it's more manageable, I think.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I've been fortunate that I've tattooed a lot of pretty serious collectors, and they seem to have that mindset. Like, they are down to get tattooed multiple days, all day long. They really seem that they would prefer it. I mean, obviously, they just want to get it done. They want that closure. But I'm impressed when I see people like at Evergreen, they'll book all 3 days. You know what I mean? Whether it's with one artist or multiple artists. And it's just like, so impressive to see how much work they get covered. They blacked out nipples and stuff like that. It's crazy.
Real quick, Carson, I just wanted to acknowledge you and thank you, because the last time we had you on the show, if you recall, I felt led to buy a machine from you live on the show. And I think I ordered the brass one because I wanted a gold one. I was talking about it, you know, but then I just, it wasn't available, whatever. I bought the brass front. And for all our listeners, you know, don't you know that this man, so my machine showed up, the one I ordered, plus the gold one that I couldn't order live on the show. Carson paid attention and made things happen over in his house to ensure that I got a gold one too. And I just want to take a moment to thank you, brother.
That's amazing.
My pleasure.
Yeah, dude, such a gift. Thank you. And I don't know.
So do you like it?
Huh? Oh, it's pretty, boy. It's pretty.
What about, I mean, but tattooing with it, do you know?
So anyhow.
Oh, gotcha. So
I haven't gotten to yet, Carson. And I tried to. Oh, really? Mike even had me fully set up. And then something happened. I don't know if Katie got sick or had to go to the hospital or something, but something happened to where the tattoo didn't end up happening, and I haven't been able to make it back since.
That was like a year ago.
I'm sorry? Yeah. What's that?
Wasn't that like a year ago?
Yeah.
I will say that, and I've said this before, I hear nothing but good about your machines. It's kind of crazy how much people gush about it. So you're doing something good. That's for damn sure.
Absolutely. And another quick story to acknowledge Hip, in case Carson didn't know this, because last year at Hell City, and you had just gotten, I think, your second new Pneuma. Anyways, it was at Hell City, and our good brother from Michigan, Dan Kirby, was there, helped me run the TBM booth. One thing led to another, and Hip felt led to bless other artists with his Pneumas. And gave his away, and then went home and just bought more. I'm pretty sure it's what went down. And I just thought that was beautiful, because you being the giver that you are, Carson, doesn't stop with you. You know, and Hip's a huge fan of Pneuma and of you, Carson, is even buying machines to give them away and get more. And I just love your guys' hearts and wanted to say so.
That's kind of the impression I kind of get from you guys, as the three of you, just that you're here to provide, you know, value for the industry, and it feels a lot like gifts. So I think to acknowledge the three of you, I'm sure that all of your 25,000 subscribers would agree that it's very valuable, and what you guys are doing, just because you want to. Very, very useful, very valuable, and I hear about you guys all the time as well.
Wow. Very cool. Man, it feels good to be seen, Carson, so thank you.
My pleasure.
Big time. Big time. Well, can you, and Mike, can they hear me through these microphones, or are they picking up through the speaker, like the old days? Can they hear me through this microphone? Is that how that... they're hearing me? Okay. At one time, it wasn't that way. I just want to confirm. Like I like to do often, I want to share a quote with you guys to end this, and would love to see how it resonates with y'all. And I'm just going to put it here on the microphone. Here we go.
I do find myself coming back to this quote by George Bernard Shaw. Let me see if I can remember it. He says, "This is the true joy in life, the being used for a purpose considered by yourself as mighty, the being a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy. I am of the opinion that my life belongs to the whole community, and while I live, it is my privilege to do for it whatever I can. I want to be thoroughly used up when I die. For the harder I work, the more I live. I rejoice in life for its own sake. Life is no brief candle to me. It's a sort of splendid torch that I've got hold of for the moment, and I want to make it burn as brightly as possible before handing it on to future generations.
Wow.
Love it.
I want to be thoroughly used up when I die.
Yeah. It reminds me of a perspective I have of the planet, right? Like, looking back at human life, will we regret having used up the planet if the result was the creation of everything? You know, if I have a way of polarizing my perspectives, like if we were completely peaceful and never harmed a single thing on the planet, but we're unable to produce much because we were so tiptoeing and so forth.
Mm.
So I like that the guy is shifting it.
Mm-hmm.
To my body, right? I want to be used up. I like that.
Yes. And that he believes that his body belongs to the whole community.
Yeah.
You know, like in service to everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love that.
Now, imagine if everybody.
Come on. Exactly. Decided to be that. Right? Oh.
Well, we can start, you know, we can't control others, but.
That's right.
We can be the change we want to see in the world.
Oh, and it fucking matters. And be it more longer than 5 minutes, longer than a day, be it consistently so that others actually believe it and can be it too. Right. Oh, it's so, so good. Oh, I love that. I want to hear from our listeners in the comments how fucking great it was to have our brother Carson Hill back on, and your top two takeaways of today's discussion. We'd love to hear your takeaways from today's discussion. And we never do this, but before we end, would you like to share one major takeaway you got from discussion, each of us? I'll start if you want me to. Or
sure. Yeah, no. Okay. So 2017, me and Matt were watching a video, and it was somebody. It may have been Jordan Peterson. But they said the most powerful thing that one can say or declare to their self is I am, and then fill in the blank. And that sparked me to, for 2017 to 2018, every day for 365 days out of that year, I continuously wrote my I am statements constantly, 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 constantly.
Wow.
To ingrain it into myself. Mm. So again, learning a lot of times is just remembering. And then how it always works out. Anytime I have conversation with Carson, he brings to my awareness of something that's like, oh yeah, let me implement that. My language is important. I am a creator and a destroyer with my tongue. So why not create?
Yeah.
Because it's my choice. It's already happening. You know, I can't beat it. Might as well join it and actually get on it and let it serve me. So to like be more cognizant of what comes after I am.
Love that. I love that. And Carson, remind us, what are your three anchoring points? You've got three for being and three for doing.
A contract. Yes.
And actually the completeness of it is I am, right? Because you can't just have three words. It's I am. Yes. Courageous, loving, and giving.
Yes.
And then my main takeaway I would say for today would be, because I talk about integration a lot and how integration to me is like wisdom. It's like applied knowledge.
Mm.
And without integration or without, you know, applying your knowledge, it's useless knowledge.
That's right.
So I think the big one for me is to be easy, meaning like what comes naturally to me is the relentlessness and focus, and almost like internally, I'm drilling myself to be a certain way and to be consistent and so on and so forth. But there is a need for me to be easy as well. And to, like you were saying, Matt, something to remind me that, you know, it's okay, or that it's fun, or that it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I think it's easy. Be easy.
You
know, not easy. I hope you understand what I mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like you're describing self-love, but never mind.
No, definitely not.
I would say for me, it's again, I was pretty quiet this episode, just kind of listening. And I definitely takeaway for me was to be aware of the words I'm using, especially with myself. And I also really liked what comes after I am, like the pause.
Yeah.
To make sure, you know, that you can own what you're really going to say, because my it has so much weight.
Yeah. So. As if you're actually about to create whatever you're going to say.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so even after listening to Carson and starting to understand what he's saying, I still came back with, you know what I mean? I struggle, or I'm having a hard time with that, instead of saying I'm going to be working on it, or I am better, or something like that.
Yes. I love
that. And just not to be critical or anything, but when you say better, or when you say going to be, you're, mm-hmm. you're indicating to yourself that you're not yet. Yes. And that's why the I am is the it's emphasis. Kind of finite. It's now. Yeah. It's, you know.
Okay.
Already.
Yeah.
Already more than enough.
Yeah.
Already right now. I love that. And, you know, we'll talk about whether it's old scrolls, writings, ancient scripture, especially when it comes to scripture, the modern day evangelical church, at least here in the West, takes it out of context and can use it as ammo to hurt others, right? Sifting through that. And I've always loved when I've had a light bulb moment go off to where I feel like a scripture really came alive to me versus just like how it was force fed in a certain way. Example, people say the scripture where it says, God gives us the desires of our heart. It's a scripture. To me, my whole life that was preached or taken out of context is if you ask enough, if you pray enough, if you're good boys and girls enough, then God will eventually give you the desire of the thing you are asking for. And that's not really what that scripture means. It means if God gives you the desires of your heart, whatever you desire has been placed there on purpose for a purpose. You've already been given the desire of your heart. Therefore, that is the evidence that you're meant to already be, do, and have the things that you desire because you've been given the desire in the first place. You know, just changing that's the interpretation of that scripture. And why do I bring that up? Is because he brought up a real famous one that I love the insight you gave us, Carson. You know, when Moses went up to the mountain and he was face to face with God, he was like, who are you? And he named off all these names of God. Are you Jehovah Rapha? Are you Yahweh? And he said, I am. That I am. Meaning only us in our finite minds in time and space want to label and make sense and attach meaning to everything. But God being so big and so vast, you can't even label him. I am. But you want to know what God looks like? Just fucking look in the mirror, hip. Just look at Carson and just look at Josh. Because I believe we're all beautiful expressions, right? Anyways, when he brought up the famous one, not to take God's name in vain, right? And people misinterpret that to be like, oh, don't say God damn it. Oh, you're taking the Lord's name in vain, right? But no, the way Carson broke down is the power of saying his name, I am, which is now the power that's in you. And now you are I am as I am, right? To be cognizant. That's why the power of the pause is to realize if you, whatever comes after I am is not serving you and is untrue. Now you're using your God-given name in vain. And that was a huge takeaway for me. I thank you, Carson.
Glad I could be of service.
Yeah. Happy day. Woo. My God. Tattoo guardians from all over the world. We love you. We thank you. Thank you for your consistent love and your support. All your messages and your comments. It means the world to us. If you've enjoyed this discussion, help us get it out to the world. By simply liking, commenting, and sharing, it ups the algorithm so that more people can find us, listen, and view just like you. We love each and every one of you. Thank you for joining us in today's discussion, and it's a true honor to allow us all to be a contribution into your life. We'll see you next week.
Man, what time is it? 12:14 a.m. Matt, I don't know about you, but I like coffee.
You know I do, every day, all day.
Man, and I could go for one right now. So our listeners, did you know that you can buy us a coffee?
For real?
Yeah.
All Why would they do that?
Well, if you like what we do and you support our show and you appreciate our content, you can just go and click that little button that our producer Mike puts in every show and buy us a coffee just to show your contribution that you appreciate what we do for you to help us out.
People can really buy us a coffee?
Totally.
I'd be honored if you bought me a coffee.
And not only that, but we got a little spot. It's special for the VIP listeners. It's called Close Friends on Instagram. And on there, you can see some behind-the-scenes content. And when the cameras ain't running, seeing all the shit we'd be talking about each other.
Is that true, Mike? Damn, you guys, this is the first I've heard about either of these. So they can buy you or me a coffee.
Or Mr. Carlton.
Or Mr. Carlton. And, like, get a sneak peek behind the scenes.
Yeah.
By doing what again?
Fucking smashing that button.
Okay. What button are you talking about? I want to smash the button.
It's the fucking, the button on the fucking thing.
Okay.
Do it. Just do it. Absolutely demolish the button. But thanks for your time again, and we appreciate all our listeners.
Always.